Take TPV Radio with you 24/7. Just download Live 365 app from your Apple or Google Play Store. Like us on Facebook at TPV Radio or www.tpvradionetwork.com. Walk with us, family. Let's go!
Yo, what's good? It's your boy, Josiah Khalid. Listen, you're listening to the Summer's Voice Radio. Walk with me. Let's go!
You're listening to the hottest, most off-controversial, off-the-meters Christian radio station in the land. The Psalmist Voice Radio Network. Are you ready to walk, family? Let's go!
Starting with the Psalmist Voice Reloaded on Sundays at 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. Then the Psalmist Voice presents by booking only. Tuesdays, it's the Grub at 1 p.m. Followed by Victory Over the Weights of Life with Sister Deanne Lebrine at 6 p.m. Thursdays, Real Talk with Pastor Byron Segal at 4:30, followed by Dorothy Patterson, the reality coach, at 6 p.m. Friday, Music of the Spirit with Trey Milner at 4:30 p.m. And Saturdays is our double hitter, and it starts with Saturday's Buffet with Sister Lorraine Brown, with Roberta Jones at 11 a.m. Central, followed by Brother Don Presents with Pastor Gene Homer at 4 p.m. Also download Live 365 and search the Psalmist Voice Radio Network, and you're in there. You can also follow us on Facebook at TPV Radio or visit our website, www.tpvradionetwork.com. Walk with us, family. Let's go! At Majal's Products, we care for a better you with our handmade natural ingredients to give you healthier skin, body, and stronger hair. Like our face, foot, hair, and body care products. To order yours today, please visit our website at www.majalsproducts.com or on Facebook at Majal's Products. Get yours today and get your faster results without breaking the bank.
This is God's Journey Child, Fed Old Chestnut, and you're listening to the Psalmist Voice Radio Network. Walk with me, family. Let's go!
You're listening to Real Talk with Pastor Segal, right now on TPV Radio.
City on my back, a whole lot on my chest, treating me foul, had to tap in with the rest. Blow the whistle, them folks got benched, now watch me get blessed. Had to switch it up, everybody ain't loyal. But my day one's with me being down since the soil. All these hard times ain't finna stop. If my God be with me, then we pop. Okay. On the real, really losing ain't no option. I got the word in my heart, so be cautious. I swear these Pharisees really make me nauseous. Guard my mind, ain't no time for no nonsense. Nah, straight like that, set it on wax. Only spitting facts, you can play it back. You can hear the truth when I'm in the booth. You can hit the dough if you get mad.
Brother, your cousin, your nephew, of Real Talk, Pastor Byron Segal.
What you finna do when you get in? I'ma act up, act up, act up, act up, baby. I'ma act up, act up, act up, act up, baby. I'ma act up, act up.
Hey, what is good, everybody? And you already know it's your brother, your cousin, it's your one and only nephew. Hey, this is Pastor Byron Sago, and I want to welcome you all to this episode of Real Talk. And look, hey, it is November the 19th, and if you are with us, you're live with us just for a little bit for another episode of Real Talk. So you already know how we get down here on Real Talk. I want to start off by sending my big shout-out to the TPV Radio Network, the TPV Radio family, everybody that's a part of the TPV Radio Network, and everybody that's coming on and just being with us in this family. Hey, I salute everybody. TPV Radio Network, Pastor Chris Newton, Lady Denise Newton. Hey, I salute you. My wife, Lady Latanya Tego. Hey, I appreciate you. Love you. Hey, my kids, Malcolm Ebony. Hey, I appreciate you. I love you. Hey, everybody, Light Hope Fellowship Ministries, Blessings on the Block Community Outreach. Hey, I salute you, and I appreciate y'all riding with us for just a little bit as we move through this time that we're dealing with right now. And it is a rough time, but hey, you know, we got God, and that is what it's all about right there. So you already know how I always start this show. I tell you, we don't talk politics. Hey, I'm not gonna bash any politician. We don't talk about politics. We don't argue about politics. Hey, so that's how we get down. So we don't get down with politics here on TPV Radio Network or with Real Talk. So I always like starting off by saying that. And here at Real Talk, we talk real. And ladies and gentlemen, I think we have a great show for you on today. I guess everybody's saying that, hey, we don't talk politics, but that's okay. I have a great politician that's on, but this particular politician, she is about community. That is her passion, and that is one of the great reasons why she, well, you know what, I'm going to let her tell you about why she got into politics anyway. But ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce you to Killeen City Councilwoman Melissa Brown. She is riding with us on tonight with Real Talk. Councilwoman Brown, you on with me?
I'm here. How you doing, Pastor?
Hey, I am doing great. Hey, I've been so excited about this show. I know you're super busy with your new job as a Killeen City Councilwoman. I know they probably already got you to the four wins. So I appreciate you just being with me on tonight and just talk about what's going on in the community and stuff like that. So hey, let's start off. Hey, introduce the listeners to yourself. Tell the listeners a little bit about yourself.
See, that's the part that I'm the worst at when you want to hear about me, but I'll give it a shot. So my name is Melissa Brown. I'm 39 years old, and I grew up originally in upstate New York. I came from a family that was well below the poverty level, pretty much at destitute. So I know what it's like to get your WIC check, your food stamps, and your welfare on the first of the month, and by the 10th, you're reaching out for that government food box. You're eligible for the month, and by the 18th, you're hitting the food shelters because you don't know where the next meal is going to come from for your family. I joke, but I'm not joking. By the time I was 6, I had my own water, my own cable, my own electricity, and my own gas shut off. All in
the I think we all did that.
So I know what it's like to be in a situation where you feel like nobody else in the community cares about you. And especially if they're able to get up out of that position or they've never been in that position before. I've been in Killeen since 2008. I've got a husband I've been married to for 20 years, a 16-year-old son, and an 11-year-old daughter. And I hope that this will be our permanent forever home. And I need to make sure that Killeen is the best place possible for myself and my family, and I see so much potential here for us.
That's good. That's good. Well, you know, the first time we met, well, I've always seen you at a lot of community events, but I didn't find out that you were running for city council until we were at the James Scott Reed event, and you told me, and I was like, oh, wow. I see you around all the time, but never knew that you were running for city council. So you just got sworn in. How was that?
It was stressful. It was nerve-wracking, but it was exciting all at the same time. I've watched Killeen City Council for years, and I've witnessed from the audience that there is no warming up period. When you get sworn in, you just go straight to work. But experiencing it firsthand, that's entirely different.
Yeah. So how has it been? How does it feel? Because you were just sworn in a week ago?
A week ago today.
Week ago today. So how does how does it feel now to be called a councilwoman? Because I remember when it was out that you won, that was the first thing I started calling you was councilwoman. So how does it feel for people to call you councilwoman now instead of just Melissa?
So do you know that feeling when you first get married and you're getting called husband and wife? It's kind of like that. It's exciting, and it really brings in happiness, but at the same time, I'm still getting used to it.
Yeah, and I think it's gonna take some getting used to, you know, because people are calling you Councilwoman Brown, and you keep walking, and you're like, oh, you're talking to me. So I think that's gonna take a little bit of time to get used to. So this is was this your second time running for city council?
This was my third time running. So I ran for at large in 2018, and then I ran for District 2 last year. And I don't have quit in me. So when I know that I can do something, I just keep going until I get what I want or what I feel like I need to do.
Yeah, that's good. So now with the city council, are you assigned to a certain area? But if you're just on the city council, you kind of have an outlook of all the areas within Killeen.
So, personally, I'm an at-large council member, which means that every person who resides within the city of Killeen is my constituent. I overlook and make decisions for the entirety of the city, and we have four other council members that are district members. And so they have sections of the city that they're primarily responsible to.
Okay. So now I know you have a big passion for the community, and now that's where most of our conversation is going to come from on tonight. So you have a big passion for the community. So where do you see the Killeen community at right now at this particular time?
Right now, I see not a broken community, but one that's bending. When I first got to Killeen in 2008, one of the reasons we left the place and decided to buy here is because we had everything accessible to us. So you had everything you would need from a big city, but it had a small town feel. And I feel like the more we're developing and growing and spreading out, the further we're getting away from that. And you see that as we're getting away from that community feeling with neighbors looking out for neighbors no matter where they live, we're seeing crime rates rise. We're seeing young kids being killed more. We're seeing drug abuse and child abuse going up. And I think that if we can come back to that community, to everybody looking out for each other, it's not going to solve all our problems, but it would definitely be of assistance to it.
Now, have you seen those numbers increasing in growth here within the last couple of years? Because, I mean, we can look on the news every day and we see so much crime that's going on. So how do you think it's going to be the best way to address that? Because everybody has their own their own thoughts and their own processes of what they think is wrong in the Killeen area. And I just don't want to, and I know you're a Killeen councilwoman, but I don't want to leave Harker Heights out with the, you know, Harker Heights or Culver, any of those areas. So how tough has it been so far just to be able to say, hey, we have these problems. Are people kind of like thinking the problem doesn't exist, or do people know it exists but just don't know how to fix the problem?
See, I think it's that second one. I've literally talked to thousands of people in Killeen over the past. This election was unusual, so we ran for 11 months, and over 11 months, I talked to thousands of people, and they recognize there's a problem. You'd have to be completely secluded, not paying attention to any news, any social media, not talking to anybody, to not realize that crime is going up and we have a problem, but it's coming together and figuring out how to address it. So nobody knows how to address it, and we have hundreds of great organizations that all have ideas that are doing their best, and it's a matter of hopefully trying to bring them together and getting the city to work along with them, because the city can do whatever we want to. We can put hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars into it, and if the community doesn't buy into what the city is doing, nothing will change.
That's good. Now, do a lot of these organizations, have you seen so far? And again, I know that you are involved in a lot of stuff, because I always see you out at a lot of these events. A lot of times, if I'm there, then I see you there, or you know, something like that. So we always kind of see each other. So during this time, do you see a lot of organizations that want to participate, or do you see a lot of organizations as well that don't want to participate and they just don't want to be involved in the community because it's just a care about their own little thing?
So since this is real talk, I'm going to talk real about this, and I'm going to tell you there's a combination. There are those organizations that don't care who gets the credit, that don't care who gets the glory for it. They just want to get out there and help. So they're willing to work with anyone. They don't need to take top billing on it. So we have a good share of organizations that they want to help, but they only want to help if they can be the ones that get that credit for it. And so they're competing with each other instead of working together, which means they're competing for grants. They're competing for other funding. They're competing for the same clients that they'd be normally reaching out to help together. So then when you're dividing yourself because you're worried about who's going to get credit for it, nobody can succeed.
That's good. Absolutely, because I think everybody wants to be the chief organization, or everybody wants to be an organization that wants to get all the glory or end up on KWTH News or whatever the case might be, instead of working together. And then I think a lot of people fail to realize that when organizations work together, there's a whole lot more that can be done when organizations work together. And I think that's the problem. So Ms. Councilwoman, how do you think that problem can be fixed, or just people just have to slap themselves across the head and say, hey, I got to do better?
I am key on not only community, but education, right? So some of these organizations don't even realize that they're shooting themselves in the foot by competing with the fellow groups. So educating people on the fact that if you come together, yes, you may not get the full amount of credit, you may not get the full amount of money to your own organization, but you're going to do a greater amount of good. And that's where we start weeding out the groups that really want to help the community and the groups that really just want that attention and really just want that name for themselves. And I think once we get that and we sort that out, the city should be working in conjunction with these organizations, because for too long, government has thought they have to do it all themselves. We need to create another group, or we need to create another fund. We have to create another way to pay for it. Why would we do that when we have organizations that have the funds or the volunteers and the desire, but just don't have the ways and means of getting access to doing these things?
So that way, those ones that want to do it, truly want to do it, they just don't have those that funding, and sometimes the city is able to provide that funding. So do you think that the trouble is that, like you said, a lot of people don't know that there is assistance out there from the city, or is it just there's some points that the city doesn't want to help those organizations? So is it that the organizations don't know, or is it that sometimes the cities, and I'm including all cities, don't want to release those funds or release that what they can do to those organizations? So is it the city or is it the organizations?
So I'm going to talk in general terms so I don't get myself in trouble, okay?
No, I wanted to talk to you and tell you that I know there's certain stuff that you can't say. I got that because you're in position now. But, again, I truly understand that. So
I'm going to talk in general terms, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who likes or dislikes my answer. I think you of all people have figured out that I'm going to say what's on my mind and how I truly believe. And
right.
Whether you like it or not, at least you know where I'm coming from. So to answer your question, I think it's a combination of both. The access to the information for the funding that's out there can be difficult to find, difficult to navigate, difficult to apply for. At the
mm-hmm.
same time, government bodies in general, as soon as they start giving out funding to organizations that are not part of their government structure, they lose all control over how that money is spent. So if they want something done a particular way, they can't have a full and total control over that if a different organization outside of that government body is handling it. And so I don't know, is it intentional that the group can't find out what funding is there? Or is it just something that's put there as an obstacle to make sure that the groups that want it, that are going to do the work, are researching it and making that full effort to find it?
Yeah. And so when those things are going out, so and I know that the funding is set up based off of what the city has or has decided to do on from, you know, I'm assuming, and correct me if I'm wrong, that there are a lot of things that the cities have already voted on to fund years and years back, to where things are just coming up like right now to be used with those funds. Am I correct by saying that?
So I'll use Killeen as an example. In Killeen, we have a 5-year plan for all our capital projects, which means all the streets, the drainage ways, the water sewer lines, stuff like that. So 5 years in advance that gets voted on, well, in 5 years, those things are already in progress, and there could be 4 brand new councils that are elected into place in that time. When it comes to grants for organizations, those are decided on an annual basis. But the city has to put a 5-year plan out that says for the next 5 years, this is how we're going to use these grants and how our preferred distribution is going to be.
Gotcha. And that's great information, and that's one reason why I really wanted you to come on, because I know you have some great information. I know your passion is, you know, with the community. So let's still talk about community. So what about our kids in our community? Now, I think we see that there's not a lot to do for our kids in this area. So how do we see that through to where you know we can get our kids something positive to do? I mean, even something positive, even somewhere nice for them to hang out or whatever the case might be. How do we make the cities, all of them, understand that, you know, we have to have something positive for our kids to do?
Oh, so So now you're asking what sounds like a simple question but is really complex. So first of all, the best way to get any elected official to understand is to bring as many people as you can out to them and talk to them. So, like, bring a bunch of young people to a city council meeting and have each and every single one of those individual young people address the city council about why it's so important to them that we have things for them to do and what types of things they want. Because we can have committees and we can have staff reports. When it comes from a 14, 16, 18, 20-year-old, and we've got 30 of them standing there in line waiting to discuss, it has a different impact. I think the other thing we need to do is get off of this idea as government bodies that we have to fund everything or it can't happen. So, and I've talked to you personally about this before, which is having the city make more connections with our organizations that we have, the community organizations, the churches, the school districts. So there are churches in this community that have baseball fields, that have football fields, that have basketball courts. They have all of the different activities that could be useful to young people. Obviously, the schools have gyms, they have football fields, they have playgrounds. And so how do we make that relationship so that the citizens and the youth can go out and have access to it where we can still have supervision for them so we make sure that they're being safe, but they're able to get that energy out in a way that's healthy for them, right?
Right, right. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, so I was going to say, so that's a two-way street, though, because those community organizations have to be willing to come to the city and sit down with the city and meet us halfway. The city has to be willing to go out to those organizations and sit down and talk to them and meet them halfway. Because I understand nothing comes free. So, you know, these organizations, they still have to pay the light bill while people are in there, stuff, pay cleaning bills, stuff like that. But at the same time, we're running out of places. We're running out of activities. I'm actually sitting in my car at Condor Park right now, and I'm watching the playground, and it's such a small playground for such a large neighborhood. It's kind of sad.
Now I remember one time, and I was really proud of you when you told me this, when you said that you went out to one of the parks. I don't know, it was Condor Park, wherever the basketball courts were in Killeen. Mm-hmm. So you went out there, and the kids were out there. It was like 9 o'clock at night or something like that, and there weren't any lights out there. And then within 2 days or a day or so, that you had those lights on to where those kids can have somewhere to play basketball. And that's the type of passion, ladies and gentlemen, that we have on the Killeen City Council that will go above and beyond. City Councilwoman Melissa Brown went above and beyond and gave access to these kids, so the kids won't have to play basketball in the dark. You know,
right?
And that, right. So that was really. Oh.
So here's the thing. So that was Long Branch Park, and it was
okay.
It was not quite 7 o'clock at night. Now that it's getting dark earlier, you know, they were out there at 7 o'clock at night playing basketball in the dark, about 50 people. And they said that the lights don't come on until 9 o'clock. It doesn't matter what time it gets dark. And I said, this will get fixed. And sent a couple emails. I was not a councilwoman at the time. But I made sent some emails. And the next night at 7 o'clock, the lights were on. It was light for them to be on the court, even though it was dark outside. And just to see, so here's where the reward came for me, because while I was sitting there, people were out there, they were enjoying themselves. They were playing. I knew that they were safer for it. But there was a family that walked by, and there's a little girl, probably no more than 3 or 4 years old, who went running up to the basketball court, and she said, "Look, Mommy, I can see." Well,
yeah.
First of all, that doesn't bring joy to your heart, knowing that you helped bring that excitement to your little ones.
Mm-hmm.
But second of all, it broke my heart at the same time, because I'm thinking, okay, so for how long this little girl's maybe entire life, she's been used to coming out at night and not being able to see the basketball court.
Yeah. And I mean, and that was so good because number one, you were also ensuring the safety of these kids, and it was giving those kids something to do because you know the lights don't come on till 9 o'clock. You know, they'll be out there playing in the dark. You know, till 9 o'clock. I mean, I don't know. It becomes a whole lot of things that could happen while, you know, those kids are over there playing, you know, in the dark. So there's a whole lot of things that can happen. So I'm so proud of you for that. So, hey, Miss Councilwoman, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. The radio station got to pay some bills. When we come back, we're going to finish up this interview. So, ladies and gentlemen, Miss Melissa Brown, Councilwoman Miss Melissa Brown, we'll see you in a second.
You're listening to Real Talk with Pastor Sago, right now on TPV Radio.
Yeah. Sound the alarm.
Yeah, it's going down, y'all. Uh-huh. Yeah, your girl, Miss Lady Boo. I'm up here, John. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? Represent a straight family, baby. Keeping it in blood. Thick in the mud. I'm trying to tell y'all, you know what I'm saying? That's the biz. I got my boy, Mr. Dale, his whole crew. I got my brother, Lil E / B-A-Z. My homeboy, P.B. Memphis. P.B. Memphis. Creed Dan Stein. Don't forget about your boy, M-Child. You know what I'm saying? It's going down, baby. Crazy Lady Entertainment. I'm putting it down forever, y'all. You're going down independent. One.
Make a brother wanna get up and fuck it up. Straight cut, we rock so dumb. Mr. Straight Kick Shot. Now we ready, Miss Lady.
Now I'm ready.
Make a brother wanna get up and fuck it up. Straight cut, we rock so dumb. Mr. Straight Kick Shot.
With a frown, looking mean. Haters just a hating, trying to get up on my team. Baby, get up on me, have you looking kind of sloppy when I point aim. Boom. First I hit you with the beam. Girl, steady watching, trying to get up with my man. I don't care, have him, he ain't rolling with the plan. Plan to be a blessed young millionaire. When I finish rocking shows, get paid, don't you understand? You don't want to go to war with Lady Boo. Started as a fan, now you round with my crew. Everybody knows you a wannabe, gonna end up broke. If you keep taking checks like you do. Hanging with my partner, trying to keep a level head. Riding in the BNC, feeling like a bed. Always pray to God, but it's hard not to want to hang. Coward suckers all up in my face. In a bed, walking around town acting like you beat us. Call a nigga phone saying that you wanna hit. Don't you feel stupid when he say, girl, please, you the cheese, man. No, I don't really wanna hit. Try to be like Lady, cause I flip the CEO. Write my own checks, till I close my own door. I ain't tryna take that crap no more. Plan to sell an audit, you'll never know. Riding in the lane, feeling good up in the shade. Move to ATL, cause I'm tryna get paid. Everybody saying, oh man, she sold out. Pimp, never made self made to the grave. I'ma hit you, mama, where it really, really hurt. Blah. Listen to my old rap, throw my old verse. Blah. It's all good in the hood where I'm from.
B-A-G, y'all
know that I had to
sell
first.
Make a brother wanna get up and fuck, hit book, cut up, we crunk, show no. Mister, hit ya with my sister. And so now we about to blow up. Now we ready. Make a brother wanna get up and fuck, hit book, cut up, we crunk, show no. Mister, hit ya with my sister. And so now we about to blow up. Now we ready.
And we still fly. But here's another one. I got a 9 or 2, another bus to claim you got a lot of life.
Lauryn Hill, you just lost one.
One time for your mind, body, spirit, don't forget your soul. Jesus blessed us, now we in control.
Uh-huh.
And on me, cause his silly style is old. But you can't blame Dale, cause I'm saving souls. I rock that MP, ride the track. Yeah, people bro, I didn't know I had it like that. Like a farm was a gap when the style is flat. But D.O.D. on the hill, and he got it like that. In a B.A.Z., Tennessee, bucking for the Trinity. Laughing at you, hate it, cause they can't be free. Independent Christian living, never slipping. Prince of Memphis, King Jehovah, Alpha Omega. Man, I hope your soul is listening. Kingdom coming, suckers running, cause they got it twisted from the beginning. When the trumpet sounds, I ride that thing like lightning. Listen,
I wanna get up and forget, but cut up, we crawl, so no, Mr.
Now we ready, now we ready, now we ready. Now we ready, now we ready, now we ready. Make a brother wanna get up and fuss, get the cut up. We crump, so no, mister, hit ya, rip out your star. It's so now we about to blow up. Now we ready, now we ready, now we ready. Now we ready, now we ready, now we ready. Uh-huh. Make a brother wanna get up and fuss, get booked, cut up. We crunk, so no. Mister, hit yo with my sister. It's so now. Now we ready, now we ready, now we ready. Now we ready, now we ready, now we ready. Yeah, yeah. Make a brother wanna get up and fuss, get booked, cut up. We crunk, no. Mister, hit yo with my sister. It's so now we about to blow up. Now we ready, now we ready, now we ready.
You're listening to Real Talk with Pastor Sago right now on TPV Radio.
Well, hey, we are back, ladies and gentlemen. That was Mr. Dale. I'm ready. And, yo, we are here with Councilwoman Melissa Brown. We're getting in. We're talking about community, and she is a Killeen City Councilwoman, very, very, very strong Killeen City Councilwoman who was just sworn in. So, Councilwoman, so, how often do all the meetings held? And I know that they you have them on Facebook Live as well, but how often are they held?
Typically, we have one every single Tuesday at 5:00.
Okay.
This month, December will be different because of the holiday season, and then we never have meetings on the 5th Tuesday of the month.
Okay, all right. But people can go on the Killeen City homepage, and they can see all the dates and times and schedules and things like that, though, right?
Yeah, so if you go to KilleenTexas.gov, right there on the front page, it'll show you when the city council meeting is coming up. You can pull up the agenda. You can pull up every item that'll be discussed. You can get all the details that'll be discussed. So that way you can come out, because it's a public meeting, and you can speak about any of it that you want to, but you'll know in advance what the council is going to be discussing.
Gotcha. Okay. So, hey, this is Real Talk, right? So I got a question for you. So, it's not gonna get you in trouble. And look, so is it tough being in a part of something where everybody has different thought processes and different ideas and different thoughts, and everybody has different attitudes? Has it been difficult so far within just being sworn in? Within a week. And be real, it's real talk. This is what we do, we talk real.
You know, I think the first week is probably going to be the nicest week that we have, because everybody's so new, we're getting to know each other. So far, we've all agreed on most of everything. But eventually, so it's like being in a marriage, right? You get into a relationship, everything's really good, and you find out what you have in common. And then as time goes on and topics come up, you find out what you disagree on. And you start to decide how you're going to get through those things. And sometimes you argue. Sometimes you're going to disagree. But it's all about learning how to do it with respect, right? Because you can disagree with somebody 100%. But as long as you do it with respect, everybody can work together. We can still do what we feel is best for the community. And at the end of the day, there's two people you have to answer to. You have to answer to yourself, and you have to answer to God.
Mm. Yeah, that's good. That's good. So right now, I guess we can say right now, the new city council is in the newlywed phase, I guess, right?
Yeah, we're in the newlywed female phase, but... we're going to see. I never try to prejudge people. I always give everyone the benefit of the doubt. I want to see what's going to happen. I believe that we will all do our best to work together, but we do have conflicting ideas on a lot of things. And so it's a matter of how do we work it out so we can come to a compromise, or is it going to be forcing the will of the majority, right? Because it only takes four people to make up the majority.
Right, right. And exactly what you said, you know, I think when we all understand that, you know, it's not about us, it's about something bigger, you know. This is about the city of Killeen. So I think when people are able to take their own personal things out of what's on the table and look at the big picture and say, hey, well, what's going to be best for the city of Killeen, you know? And it could be something that you could be totally opposed to, you know? But, and correct me if I'm wrong, but if it's something that you're totally opposed to, but you look at the bigger picture and you can say, well, this is going to be good overall. This is going to be good for the city of Killeen and the people of Killeen. So you have to look at it both ways. You may not agree with it, but what's going to be best for the people in the city?
Right. So that's the thing about being an elected official. It's not just my opinion that matters, right? Because I got elected by people because they felt like my ideals and my decisions would align with what they wanted. But that doesn't mean that it's my opinion that necessarily counts. So I feel like it's my responsibility to still be out in the community talking to people. So even if I'm personally against it, if it becomes to a point where the fact say it's in the best interest for the long-term community and or the majority of the community members want it, then it's my responsibility to vote for what the community wants, not what Melissa Brown wants.
Exactly.
I think we lose that sometimes. I think when people get elected, you know, at the beginning, it's fresh in our minds, and I think after time, it becomes something people lose. So that's actually why I'm at Condo right now. We've got a huge decision coming up in 3 weeks. I know how I personally feel about it, but despite my personal feelings, it's not just my opinion that matters. The more people in the community I can talk to, the better I can gauge where they're coming from. So if I can come over here and talk to the people who it will directly be affecting, then that is where I feel like my responsibility lies.
Right. Now, so by being a part of the city council, does that remove you from a lot of the things that you were able to do before as just Melissa Brown? But now, since you're Councilwoman Brown, does that, based off of, you know, I know there's conflict of interests and things like that that you have to deal with. So does that remove you from a lot of the things that you were able to do before? Because, you know, before, we would be out at the, you know, at the rallies and the things like that, and, you know, we would see each other. So now being a part of the city council, does that remove you from a lot of those things, or the ability to go to a lot of those things now?
Absolutely not. So I may be Councilwoman Melissa Brown, but I'm still Melissa Brown. So I still am the same person I was on November 2nd. And that's one of the first conversations that I had with the city attorney after the election. As long as I go out and I don't say I'm representing myself as Councilwoman Melissa Brown, or I'm representing myself as part of the city officially, then I can be there as Melissa Brown for the community and still support every single thing that I used to do. And that is my full intention. So you'll still see me everywhere. You can't get away from me.
Okay. I was just making sure. Now I don't have to check on you and say, hey, look, a councilwoman in all caps, where are you at? You know. but that's good though. But there are some events that you will be representing the city, or some events that you will be at that you will be representing, or that you will have to represent the city of Killeen at as well, though, right?
Correct. So this morning, there was a groundbreaking for the National Mounted Warfare Museum. and I went out as a guest to represent the city for the event of groundbreaking the museum.
Oh, okay. So, okay. That's good. Now, where's the museum at? What can you even say about anything about the museum right now?
So the hope is that the museum will be finished within the next 2 years. That they've already started doing all the digging to get the foundation laid and everything. It's already been approved through Congress. So it's in the process. It's going. And this is another one of those decisions that was made years ago, but now current council, we have two choices, right? We can either be angry about it or we can make the best of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be fully honest, when the topic first came up, I was not in favor of it. I'm still not in favor of the city submitting, giving money to it and supporting it financially out of tax dollars. However, the decision was made before I got here. It's going on. I can't stop it. So now what I can do is support the success of it as much as possible to make sure it's successful so that the overall grand vision and purpose of it serves the best interest of our community.
That's good. Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I think we all get ourselves involved with that because, you know, when – before I retired from the Army in 2018, you know, you're coming to a new unit, and there's so many things that have been put in place by that old leadership, that leadership prior to you coming over. So, you know, some of those changes are difficult to change. You know, it'll take you just as much time as trying to change it as it took for them to implement it. So, you know, when you get those changes, sometimes you just have to say, okay, hey, it's the bigger picture is good for, you know, the community or the people or the unit overall. So, you know, you can support the success of it. So what has been? All right, don't forget you already know the title of this, Miss Councilwoman, Miss Brown. This is real talk. So, what has been the most difficult thing so far that you have dealt with that you can talk about and things like that? Now I know that dealing with the community is kind of difficult. I don't know if you've had any kind of I don't want to say bad run-ins, but if you've had any tough conversations with any of the community yet. So far within this week that you've been in it, I know it's a lot of stuff coming at you. What's been the toughest thing you've dealt with so far within this few weeks?
So my phone number is public information, is out there. So I'll tell you, like, one of the frustrating things today, I got a random text message from somebody who wants to be my sugar daddy. So there's a harassment issue that could come along with it. You always are going to have your haters and your doubters who make those negative comments to you, and I've gotten used to that because I've been so out there in the public to me. And because of who I am and how I operate, the hardest part for me has been talking to members of the community who have issues that I know that I have no control over. They want me to help fix something that I am not in a position to fix, that I don't have the direct line of connection to get them to people who can fix it for them. And to me, it's frustrating as an individual because I want to be able to help everybody as much as possible. So when I'm getting phone calls and messages from four or five people in a week telling me about how they're about to get evicted and what can we do to help them and if there are any services that have money left to help give them the money to stay in their home, and we're running out of those resources, and I can't force the federal government or the state government to give us any more money to help, and we can't force landlords to allow people to stay in their homes, and we can't set rent control right now. That's a problem to me personally. That hurts me, and that's the most difficult thing is knowing there are things coming to me that I physically can't do anything about yet.
Yeah. And then a lot of times when those people come to you with those issues, they get angry with you, like, you know, because like you know, like there's something that you can do right away when in actuality your hands are tied and you just can't do anything. There's just some things that you can't do that are that goes beyond your power as a councilwoman to do, you know. So
let
me ask you this. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I was just going to say, I'm fortunate enough that I've been in the community enough. People know when they call me, I'm giving them the straight answer. I'm not going to give them something that's sugar-coated or political or BS. So they don't necessarily get angry at me. I can hear the disappointment in their voice, and that's the part that eats me up.
Yeah. And, you know, I think what has made it so easy for you, I know it's a transition, you know, on paper, and it's transition of position, but I think you've been so involved in the community so much already. It's like, you know, when people before, when you was just Melissa Brown, and now, you know, you become Councilwoman Brown, I don't think a lot of people probably weren't surprised. They were just waiting to say, well, how long, or saying, hey, it's about time, you know. So I think that, you know, I think that transition was probably a seamless transition because, you know, you were already involved in the community. You understood the stuff that was going on in the community. You understood what the community needed. You understood that, you know, the problems and the hurts and the pains of the community. So it was almost like a seamless transition for you.
Yeah, so that advanced, that being in the community helps, but also I feel like if you want to represent anybody in a government position, you should be familiar with how it's been operating, the stuff that's going on. Because we don't, like I said, we don't get a warm-up period. There is no teaching you how to swim. It's day one, here's the 20-meter diving board into the ocean and go swim. If you haven't been keeping up, if you haven't been at meetings or following what the council's doing, that transition, I think, is harder. But the fact that I've been there so much and talked to them so much and been so involved with the council, not just with the community, but with both sides of it, I think that has personally helped me.
Yeah, because you know how it runs, you know the language, you know the jargon that's used, and you have a great understanding of what goes on actually at those meetings. So I think that's great. And, you know, I think many people probably thought like I thought, like, well, it's about time, or what took so long, you know? So let me ask you this last question, Ms. Councilwoman. So I know we talked about organizations. So have you seen, and this is real talk, have you seen more outside organizations that want to be more involved? When I say outside, well, let me put it like this. So are there more church organizations that would like to be involved in the community, or are there less church organizations that you see that want to be involved in the community? Do you see more or less of church organizations that want to be involved in the community? Because I've said over and over on the show that I think that there are a lot of church organizations that are not involved as much as they can be. It's some that can't, and it's some that can, but just don't. So do you see a lot of church organizations in this Killeen area or in the Killeen area that are not involved as much as they should be?
So based on the number of churches that I know we have in the city of Killeen, I believe that we could have more churches involved, even if it's not monetarily, because to be involved, it doesn't have to be monetarily at all. What I think I see is there's more of a desire, but there's more of a competitiveness among churches. We have more community organizations of civilians, just residents coming together wanting to do things, that are more willing to work together. But I see in the church community, there is that competitiveness of wanting to be the church. We are the come-to church, the go-to church, who's going to help, who's going to do this, and we're going to be responsible for this part. And, you know, for example, Saturday we've got two different churches doing food handouts, which is great. It's awesome, but how much better could it do if we had one of those churches doing it this week and the other church doing it next week, because there's going to be another need coming up next weekend.
Right.
So we coordination, get together, coordinate, work together with each other. No one has to be the star, because when we come together and we work together and bring the community together, then everybody shines.
Yeah. And you know, and I think you made a great point that there okay. So I got a question from my engineer that came on. So I think that you have some people on the line. Let me make sure that I'm correct on this. If anyone's on the line to ask you questions, let me check with my engineer and make sure that this is correct. But as you were saying as well, I think that there's too much competition between the churches, and the churches should be coming together to make this thing do better. So
right.
Okay, he just corrected me and said that there are no questions. I thought there were two questions on the line for you. So he said no, they're not. So and absolutely right what you said. I think these churches, a lot of the churches in the Killeen community, are a period. Harker Heights community, Cove, Temple, wherever, need to come together to do more in the community. For instance, I think during the time of Christmas or Thanksgiving and Christmas time, there are so many organizations, so many churches that do the food give out, which is great. Which is absolutely great. I understand that, but people have to eat more than just Thanksgiving and Christmas. So, what happens during the rest of the months? You know, where are all the churches at during the rest of the months? And there are some that do these things, during the rest of the month, but they get so focused. They get so focused on Thanksgiving and Christmas that they forget about everything else, because that's the time everybody wants to shine.
We forget about June, July, and August when the kids are home from school.
Right.
Because not everybody can get to the school to pick up that free lunch and breakfast. You know, we forget about even when kids are in school, they might get lunch and breakfast at school, but what are they going to have for dinner when they get home? So like I said, I grew up in that situation where dinner would a lot of times be cereal, but then you get the powdered milk and you add water to it, and then you drink. I don't know if that's just our family, but when you get desperate for food, or you get the ramen dinners every night because they're cheap, but they're not so good for you. And then we wonder why people are not healthy, but we bring them up from kids because we don't have a choice. You know, if everyone had a choice, they would love to be able to give their kids the best. But just do the best that you can given the situation that you have.
Right, right. Well, some of that stuff was real good because, you know, the big peanut butter in the can, that made some good peanut butter cookies. Made some real good peanut butter cookies.
It did until the grease started sticking out.
That's true.
And the
That's
cheese
true.
Was good, though. The cheese never melted,
absolutely.
But it made the best grilled cheese sandwich.
It did, and it never cut even. It was just kind of cut. It was big at the top and small on the bottom. So
always.
So, but I would tell you though, you've seen a lot of things. As a matter of fact, I know that you've assisted and put it out with Blessings on the Block Community Outreach. So, we try to get out there as much as we can. TBV Radio. We try to get involved as much as we can, you know, and I know you partnered me with a few people, and I truly thank you for that from the heart, from Blessings on the Block, for allowing those partnerships to come together and things like that. So you continue to do great stuff in this community. So
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Councilwoman Melissa Brown. The I like to call her AKA the Lady of the City of Killeen. She's been doing great things, ladies and gentlemen. And if you need her, all you have to do is look up Councilwoman Killeen, Councilwoman Melissa Brown, and she will do everything she can. And don't call her and text her at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, okay? Don't do that. But if you need her, she will be there. So, Councilwoman, we're about to get out of here. You want to send some shout-outs to your people, to whoever it is out there, your husband, your daughter. The floor is yours. Send your shout-outs.
Hey, so I have to sincerely thank and appreciate and send all the love to my husband, James, my daughter, Michaela, my son, Jaden. They've been 100% supportive of me all the time I've been out in the community, not just when I was running for office. But every time I say I've got to go to a community event, they're like, go have fun, Mom. We'll see you when you get home. To all the people who came out and voted for me, to all the people who couldn't come out and vote but who supported me, and to everybody who didn't but who is now putting their trust and their faith in me and giving me at least the faith and the opportunity to help lead them and to help assist them. And even to people who don't like me, I appreciate you too, because for everybody who doesn't like me and gives me that negative, it makes me stronger and it helps push me further and know where I need to improve.
Amen, amen. So, well, thank you so much. Hey, congratulations again. I think I congratulated you about 12 times via text message. Say, hey, congratulations, I'm proud of you. So, but I am very, very proud of you for doing this. And I know that you are going to make some changes in the city of Killeen. So I do appreciate you, and I salute you for that. So, ladies and gentlemen, we had Miss Melissa Brown, Councilwoman Melissa Brown, here on Real Talk on tonight. So again, hey, don't tune in next Thursday, because next Thursday is Thanksgiving, and if you tune in, you'll be here by yourself. So we're not tuning in on next Thursday. So again, hey, ladies and gentlemen, you are on Real Talk with Councilwoman Melissa Brown. Thank you for being with us, and thank you for riding with us for just a little bit. And hey, this is your brother, your cousin, your nephew. This is Pastor Byron Sago with Real Talk, and I'll see you soon. One.
Tell him!
TPV Radio, Central Texas.